The following is a production of Snake Tree Media. This is Urgent Frequency, the sonic sit rep for Urgent Fury, the hottest tactical gamer community on the World Wide Web. And now, here's your host, Commander Claymore Fury.
Hoo-yah, Frequency Freaks! I am Commander Claymore Fury, and this is Urgent Frequency for the week of Sunday, August 8, 2010. This week, as summer begins to draw to a close, Urgent Fury's tournament season is just heating up, and we'll wrap up week one of the second evolution of Urgent Fury's No Boom Tournament, Urgent Fury Black, as we try to separate the contenders from the pretenders. Plus, we'll welcome our very first repeat guest on Urgent Frequency, as Glenn from PSNation.org stops by to talk about Firewood, his trip to E3, the LA riots of 2010, and how a home isn't always a house. If you can't be with the one you love, love the one you're with. This is Urgent Frequency.
Hey, this is Glenn from the PlayStation Nation podcast. You're listening to Commander Fury on Urgent Frequency. Keep your boots dry and your hair coiffed.
There was the explosion, and I remember just opening my eyes, and it got both of my legs. I had surgery after surgery, and what's going to happen next? The Wounded Warrior Project said, look, brother, everything's going to be okay. 3 months from now, 4 months from now, a year from now, you'll be fine. I don't know if I would be as well adjusted as I am now if it wasn't for them.
To learn more, call 1-877-832-6997 or visit woundedwarriorproject.org.
Spoofat Flashback. Flashback.
Hey, yo, listeners, my name is Cecil. Now, back in the day, you don't get a name like Cecil and not get bullied a lot or get your lunch money taken away and stuff because you're so small and stuff. Life wasn't so easy. Growing up later, I didn't get the raises and stuff I thought I deserved because I didn't know how to stand up for myself and stuff. It took me a while, but soon I started getting the confidence and stuff to stand up for myself in all aspects of my life when I took up boxing and stuff. Now, 10 years later, I've opened up my 24-hour training facility, the Blunt Force Gym. At Blunt Force, you can kiss those bullied, low self-esteem days goodbye and stuff by enrolling in one of our premier gym packages. First, there's the headshot package. It shows you the fundamentals of hitting people in the head and stuff. You'll be punching everything you see. Soon, people will stop messing with you and stuff. The rush package is for all you professional guys that don't have a lot of time to spare in the gym and stuff. Come in, work out in the ring, 7 rounds, 5 minutes apiece, and then you're on your way. The machine gun package shows you the basics and stuff on the speed bag to get those puny arms moving like white lightning, or black lightning, or Latino lightning, whatever kind of lightning you happen to be, alright? We also have the running camp here that trains you on our indoor track, but it hardly gets used because everybody knows that running's for pussies. Oh! Blunt Force Gym, a place to change your lifestyle and stuff, your physical appearance and stuff, overall health and stuff, and just to beat stuff up and stuff. Call for our discounted rates today at 1-555 I am tough. And one of my little hot buddy hotties at the counter will fill you in and stuff. Blunt Force Gym and stuff. Come and see what kind of stuff you're made of and stuff like that and stuff.
Urgent Frequency.
Eba, what could that be?
I believe it's the sound the Green Lantern made when Sinestro threw him into a vat of acid.
Eepa!
When he first saw the album cover for Spinal Tap's Smell the Glove, the band's guitarist Nigel Tufnel said, "It's like, how much more black could this be?" And the answer is none. None more black. And since we are knee-deep in Urgent Fury's original No Boom tournament, it appears that things around here could be none more black. We wrap things up this week with a five-way tie across the top of the leaderboard as 101, RVN, CKS, CBF, and KOH all share the top spot, each with a 2-1-0 record. All the while, Clan Uprising and LPK share the 2 spot with identical 1-1-1 records, while SCK rounds out the field at the bottom
winless after week one. Don't forget to check out www.urgentfury.com/black for more intel.
There are times when you have so much to say, just so little time.
Excuse me, what?
Good thing there's Twitter. We got you covered with the latest and the most talked about topics, 140 characters at a time. Follow us on Twitter.
Commander Fury. Spartos, motorheads, geeks, sluts, bloods, wastoids, dweebies, dickheads, they all adore him. They think he's a righteous dude.
Not only is he the co-host of the ever-popular PS Nation podcast on psnation.org, but he's the man who introduced me to In-N-Out Burger and the joys of L.A. traffic. He likes pina coladas and getting caught in the rain. With me today is the one and only Glenn Percival. You've got some kind of record, dude. You're the first repeat guest on Urgent Frequency. We should have gotten you a fruit basket or something. But
a fruit basket. Maybe a rack of ribs, you know.
A rack of ribs or a truck full of firewood. You want to tell that story right now? Or maybe we should save that till later.
Well, if I start dozing off, you know why. I was up really, really late this morning.
First of all, I want to know where you got the firewood. Did you already have it laying around, or did you actually go out and chop a tree down?
I actually have a fire pit in the back of my house, too, and I've been going over to my friend's house. You know, in the summer here, it's been so nice, and we usually have a little bonfire over at his house, and he texted me last night about 11 o'clock and said, bring firewood. So I did.
So I haven't seen you. I don't think we've really even talked at length since E3. And
No.
Craig Owens, I've told everybody that I've talked to about our experience at E3. Craig Owens, without a doubt, was the busiest guy in Los Angeles during E3, but you might have been the next busiest guy.
Yeah, that was, we definitely learned our lesson this year. We were way overbooked. We're definitely planning on that for next year to make sure it doesn't happen again. I felt pretty bad. I mean, there were people I honestly didn't even get to see and say hi to even.
Things started out, and thank God you were there because... Thank goodness you were there, because as you know, our trip did not start as it just didn't start well, and we ended up I thought we were going to be I'm like, oh great, I'm in Los Angeles, one of the craziest cities on the planet, and now I'm stranded at the airport with Shane Bell. What am I going to do? And
well, you know, if he'd get a credit card that had a limit of more than $50,
well, I'll let you guys talk that out later on, but anyway, thank God you were there. You spared us a lot of well, actually, you didn't spare as much other than a walk to the hotel, but thank you very much, sir.
Walk for you boys.
Oh, yeah. Because we're all... Well, I don't know. Will could have probably made it, but I would have easily died. I would have perished on the way to the hotel. And you were in E3 now. Of course, the last couple episodes, we've talked about E3 out the wazoo, and people are probably kind of sick of E3, but nobody more than you, sir. You were, like you said, you were overbooked, and that's really an understatement. You want to talk about some of the things that you guys, what were your highlights? What were your E3 highlights? And of course, everybody can go to psnation.org and get the full poop, but give us just a summary, if you can, of PS Nation's experience at E3.
Oh, man. Well, finally got to go to In-N-Out Burger, so right there, hey.
Thank you very much. I didn't have a burger, but I had some fries, and they were surely tasty, sir.
Indeed, that was awesome. It was great. You know, we got to go to the Sony blog meetup, and a lot of our people from the community came out, and you know, that's something that I always really care about more than a lot of other things. You know, we got to meet a lot of people we haven't met before, and finally got to meet you guys, and I mean, that's one of the biggest reasons we like going to E3 is meeting all these people that we talk to on the internets, you know, and we finally get to meet them face to face, and usually get scared off by those same people in about 10 minutes later. But no, I'm just kidding. I mean, for me, you know, I'm such a Killzone fanboy. Actually getting my hands on to Killzone 3 for a decent extended period of time. You know, I got to play through the entire demo that they had upstairs, and I got to play through it in 3D, and got to play SOCOM 4 with Move, which was, the game is cool. It's coming along really well. You know, it sucks they got pushed back, but oh well. I think it's probably for the best, since Medal of Honor and Black Ops are both coming out around that same time.
Do you think that had anything to do with it?
I have a feeling that's what it was.
Because, I mean, you don't want to saturate the market, especially for a franchise that's I don't want to use the word damaged, but it does seem like let's be honest, seriously. You say you did like the move and stuff like that, because I got to try it as well. My take on the move is hardcore SOCOM guys are still going to go for the DualShock, but new people to the franchise will probably really enjoy it with the move.
To me, it was more, it was a lot closer to playing mouse and keyboard than I expected. The move actually works really well. I was pretty surprised by that. I'm still not a waggle guy, but I was pretty impressed with how it played. Although going up and down, at least in that build, was really wonky. It was very touchy, but going right and left and just aiming with it was great. I got 3 headshots in a row. I mean, I just popped these guys, boom, boom, boom. It worked well. I don't know if I personally would play through the game with it, though, and they were very adamant about the fact that the game is essentially already done for the DualShock controls. They went back and put the move stuff in later. So for those people worried about, the move is going to ruin the game, it's not. I mean, you don't even have to touch it. You can play the full game. It's not going to shut you off from anything. And that's kind of what I like about, what they're doing with PS3 on the waggle stuff. But it was cool. I filmed some of it, and I'm going to put that up on the website soon. So, yeah, you can't make a judgment about how good or bad it is compared to Confrontation. Although I'll tell you right now, it looks way better than Confrontation, which I never thought Confrontation looked that bad, actually. I always thought it looked decent, but it looks great. It looks better than I thought it was going to look. That was actually kind of one of the first things that blew me away. MotorStorm Apocalypse, it was early, but I'm pretty excited for that one. There was the new Castlevania Lords of Shadows, which is looking really promising. Kind of a God of War, God of War Castlevania, I guess, yeah, to a certain extent, but it looked great. It was a lot of fun. Kind of a dark horse, which was this game called Homefront from THQ, which these are the guys that did Frontline Fuel of War, and they're trying to make it a lot more emotionally involved. They're trying to get you attached to the characters a lot more, and it's actually the writer that wrote Red Dawn.
Wow.
And yeah, so, and it's kind of a similar type of storyline as Red Dawn. And we go in, and number one, they had the biggest TV I've ever seen in terms of an actual flat screen. The thing was just humongous. But we go in there, and they walked us through the demo, and it was, I mean, for the shooter aspect of it, it seemed kind of average. But the emotional moments that they were putting you into, I could see what they're trying to do. I just don't know if they can do that all the way through the game. So I'll be pretty interested in that.
They spent a lot of coin on signage, Homefront did.
Holy crap, that whole booth was crazy.
Yeah, well, I mean, when you walk through the main corridor, yep, upstairs, it was just like every other sign, which I guess THQ must have leased or rented that entire side of the building, because that's where all the WWE stuff was and all this other, yep, stuff. What else did you see out there that tickled your fancy?
Tickled my fancy. I really liked Medal of Honor, what I saw of it. And now we've had this multiplayer beta for so long, and I put 21 plus hours into it before it went belly up. So I was playing that quite a bit. And, Black Ops, I think, looks cool. I didn't like World at War at all, but I think Black Ops looks very, very promising. It's a very thinly veiled secret that Raven Software has been pulled into the mix to help Treyarch out with some of the multiplayer aspects and everything, which I think is a good move. Raven, it's unfortunate. I think Raven is pretty much, it's going to be the next Infinity Ward, essentially, because they're being made into a baby factory by Activision. So, just keep churning out those babies. But no, I think it's cool that they're doing that. And, trying to think, the Tron game looked really cool. I didn't really get to play that, though. And I'm sure I'm forgetting something ridiculously obvious.
I know didn't you guys get to look at Top Gun?
Yeah, I just put that up on the website, actually. It's a PSN exclusive, comes out on the 17th, I believe. It's a neat game. It's a $10 PSN title. I think it's going to be $10. But it's neat. It's everybody's like, it looks like Afterburner. Well, it's free roaming, though. It's not on the rails like Afterburner. But, you got 6 different planes to choose from. You go on these missions and all. But the multiplayer, they were really pushing. And it seems like it's pretty full-featured multiplayer. I think they said 16-player online and all kinds of stuff. But PSN exclusive for now. They didn't mention the 360 version at all. And then actually when we were in there for that appointment, we got to see the new Days of Thunder game, which is another PSN exclusive from Paramount. And it's for the anniversary of the movie. And they actually had the guy that plays Rowdy sit in with us, Michael Rooker. who, I mean, if you see the guy, you know him. I mean, he's Mr. Svenning and Mallrats, you know, and he was the cop in The Replacement Killers and all these great movies. And we actually got to, I mean, literally just hang out with the guy, and we actually ran over on our time because we were BSing with him so much.
Now, Days of Thunder, it's just like kind of like it's a arcade racer or something.
Yeah, it's an arcade racer. You know, it's a NASCAR game. It's got the NASCAR licenses for the cars, but not for the drivers. And you're your own driver. But I don't know. I'm kind of up in the air about that game so far. It was still an early build, although I think the game's supposed to be out this year. But you get these things called hammer downs and some other stuff like little power-ups you can get. And it just seemed not really well balanced so far. I don't know. It was kind of clumsy. I didn't get to videotape because my battery ran out, but I wasn't too thrilled with what we saw so far. Let's just say that.
You know, we talked about The Sims. I wanted to go find the guy, the whoever was in charge of the whole Sims thing. I just wanted to walk up and give him one of those Steven Seagal throat chops. I just wanted, I really did, because I couldn't take it anymore. I fell on my knees at one point and said, okay, I'll buy the damn game.
We get it. A new Sims game is coming out. We get it. Oh, I mean, you know, we saw the Mafia 2. Did you see that on the side of the building outside?
No.
Where it looked like they had the scaffolding up on top and the guy was falling down?
Oh, yeah, I did see that. Okay. Maybe I didn't realize it was for Mafia 2, though. That's pretty neat.
That was the coolest one I saw. I thought the Kevin Butler thing was funny, too, but the Mafia 2 one was, I mean, it looked real. When you just kind of glance at it, you're like, holy shit. Mafia 2, I think, is going to be really cool. I really like the first one. And we get to play a little bit of it at E3. We had an appointment for it. But I think it was just like an E3 demo or something, because you got to a certain point, it stopped. But I think it's going to be a lot of fun. The only kind of problem I have with Mafia 2 is I think they're going to kind of keep the driving the way it was in the first one. That was my biggest complaint. Because these cars are in the 40s and 50s, and they're tanks. I mean, they're just, but they made the driving pretty realistic with these big things. So you take a turn too sharp, and man, you're sliding all over the place with these things. So, yeah, I'll have to see how it comes out.
You were talking about Black Ops. A friend of mine, he and I were talking about the direction of Black Ops. You know, of course, it's taken you back. Taking us all back to the Vietnam era.
It's actually jumping around, though. From what it sounds like, it's going to be Vietnam era, and then it's going to be some other points in military history, and they're all centered around Black Ops, like Black Ops teams. And they're going to put the story together somehow. And you know, in that trailer, they show you the guy in the astronaut suit, but he's up in a stealth, an SR-71, because they had to wear those suits when they got really high altitude. And I guess there's a section where you're actually flying that SR-71, but you're not flying it. You're spotting stuff on the ground for the ground crew, and then they actually transport you down into that crew, and you're on the other end of that whole battle where now somebody's telling you where to go. Yeah, I mean, they haven't shown anything really concrete about the other stuff, but that's kind of the word going around, is that it's going to kind of go along this timeline, but it's all going to be tied together in some way. And I don't think that'll take away from it too much, because you're going to get the gadgets of the time, too. So you're going to have the stuff that was experimental back then. And I think that's how they're going to kind of make it more interesting, though, is if they kind of take you through the different decades, basically, or different, you know, like the war in Afghanistan or whatever, and you play Black Ops in those different situations. I think that's what's going to mix it up quite a bit. I'm really hoping that it's a good story, to be honest, because, I mean, Modern Warfare 2 is a terrible single-player game. It was awful. So I would like to, I mean, I play a lot of multiplayer too. Is it Call of Duty 4, I play it online all the time. I think I prestige like 3 or 4 times, which isn't a lot to a lot of other people, but you have to remember I have a job, so.
and you have to eat, you know, sometime. And
yeah, I mean, you know, so you're getting that game and you understand the single player might only be 6 hours, but you're going to play it online all the time. But then Modern Warfare 2 came out and I think they broke the game, so I really don't play Modern Warfare 2 that much.
To me, you could take the cutscenes from Modern Warfare and Modern Warfare 2 and you could put those together, and that would be a really entertaining movie, probably. But as far as online play, man, I can't stand it. I can't stand the open mind. And this is what, you know, this is what we talked to the Zipper guys about at E3. I said, dude, you guys have got the comms, you guys have got the clan support, and that's something that I can't understand to this day. I can't understand how they can make a game that looks and plays as phenomenal as Call of Duty 4 and Modern Warfare 2. I can't understand why they didn't go with more clan support. And open mic, to me, open mic, again, makes me want to, like, open a vein. So,
well, you got to remember those games are made primarily for the 360. I mean, they are. You know, Microsoft has a very good relationship with Infinity Ward, and I'm sure they were, when they were making the game, I mean, Call of Duty 4, I would almost assume was an afterthought for PS3, even though it was really good on the PS3. I mean, actually, I like it better just because of the controller, but you have to remember, on the 360, you can do your own private chat channels.
Yeah,
and
true.
I think that's why they just don't even give a crap is, oh, you know, on 360, they can just do whatever they want. Unfortunately, on the PS3, we don't have that luxury, and you have to listen to all the D-bags.
You mentioned the 360. What'd you think about Kinect?
Oh, God.
Do you want to talk about that, or do you get a little emotional when that comes up?
I think it was one of the funniest things I've ever seen. Here's where I was going into the E3. I honestly, and I told everybody this, I thought that they were going to have some insanely killer app that was, because I have been a detractor of any Waggle for a long time. I just don't really like it, but I don't like their method. Just having a camera on its own, I think it's very limiting. You know, and call it what you will, but having a button is nice. It's nice on the Wii. It's nice with the Move. We learned that with the activator on the Genesis and with the iToy. You know, there's only so much you can do. So, you know, I was saying, well, I don't know. I just don't really think anything about this. And I said, but I just have a feeling that Microsoft's going to just have something that's going to blow us all away. And it's going to be one of those things at the press conference, like, oh, by the way, one other thing. And we had none of that. I mean, we were watching the press conference like everybody else was and just laughing our asses off. I thought it looked terrible. You know, we'd watch people playing it at E3 because they were all in those people aquariums, and you know, Joyride wouldn't stay calibrated, and there was this insane lag on some of them where you would move and then the online guy would move about a second later. The game that comes with it, that Kinect Adventures or whatever, cheats so much.
It pull his cord or something?
No, it's well, that's the one where you're on the raft, you know, the river rafting thing.
Okay.
And you even saw it on Jimmy Fallon after E3 where Kudo was jumping and the other girl wasn't, and it was still jumping.
Wow.
So the game actually cheats for you, and that's kind of what they talked about quite a bit when we talked to some of the developers, is that they said that you're not really watching the screen as much as you think you are because you're only focusing on certain things, that they can build little cheats in to make the game keep flowing even though you're actually kind of not playing the game in just certain aspects. And well, to me, that, why are you even doing it then? I really don't get it. I mean, for the plotty stuff, yeah, I'm sure it would be great. Am I going to do that with my fat butt? No, it ain't going to happen. Plus, I don't have a room big enough for Kinect because you have to have at least 10 feet. And
like 10 square
feet? I don't have
feet?
A room that deep. I think, well, every demo unit that we saw, they had a piece of tape on the floor and you had to stand behind that piece of tape.
Wow.
And it was always at 10 feet.
So yeah. for folks who don't know, Kinect. Now, there's been some confusion. Some folks think that the Kinect is motion control. And,
well, it is.
But isn't it more like the iToy?
Isn't it? It is. It's the iToy. It's the next generation of iToy. And I actually saved this on my TiVo. One of the, I can't remember the guy's name right now, but one of the VPs from Microsoft was just howling about Kinect, you know, after E3. Like, I'm really comfortable where I'm at and blah, blah, blah. And he actually had the balls to say, oh, we've been developing this for years. No, they haven't. They bought the technology 2 years ago at CES. Everybody knows who they bought it from, and they still talk to that company. I just can't remember the name right now. It's a regular camera. And remember how great the 360 camera went over before? Remember that the 360 had a camera? Because most people don't remember that.
I don't remember it, honestly.
Yeah, they did. They had a camera. So it's a camera. But it's also got this laser array in it as well, and it's a very thin beam. But basically, it scans things around there to try to identify a 3D space to a certain extent, so it gets depth and everything else. And it has a 4 microphone array, you know, like the PSI. And apparently, they didn't have this working at E3, but on the camera will actually home in on where you are, and it'll move. So it'll move on that little pivot or that little stand it has. But that didn't work at E3. But apparently it'll move around. I'm like, yeah, that's great. You know, more power to them. I mean, you look at the launch titles, there is not one single game on there I'm interested in whatsoever. It's all Wii Sports clones. It's fitness games. It's that Dance Central, which was obviously the best game we saw for Kinect. And it's just shovelware. And I literally don't see one game on there I'm interested in. It's going to sell well. You know it's going
to
sell well.
We'll move on to what I think is the new gimmick. But yeah, I think all this stuff is just gimmick driven. And the one thing at E3 that stood out, and I'm sure everybody noticed it, the new gimmick is 3D.
3D.
Yeah, I saw Sly Cooper Collection on 3D. You were talking about Killzone. I didn't get to play Killzone, but it looked pretty awesome on 3D. I did get to play MLB 10 in 3D, which was pretty interesting.
Cool.
What's your take on the whole 3D generation here?
You know, it's Sony. Sony's not just about gaming. Sony makes TVs. So guess what? The corporate strategy is to push 3D because they have new 3D TVs coming out. So they're going to push it. You know, but the thing is, it actually does work. And it was pretty damned impressive, the stuff that we saw. You know, you mentioned MLB. That's actually MLB 10 with the 3D technology just kind of shoehorned in.
Mm-hmm.
And they said when they implemented it in 11, it's going to be a full implementation from the ground up. So what we saw pretty much sounds like it's not going to be any indication of what the game's actually going to be like when it supports it next year.
I hung out with Ramon for a few minutes,
yeah.
Ramon Russell.
Yeah.
And I know you and Ramon are big buddies. he was talking about some of the changes that are going to take place with the game. But 3D, what gets me, though, and like you said, even though it's very fair to say that it's gimmicky, I noticed... For instance, like when I got a breaking ball as a hitter, you could actually see you got the feeling that the ball was really breaking, like breaking away from you and things like that. And what amazed me was even the crowd. Like you could look down the line and it looked the depth that was added to that was just to me it was just amazing.
That was the coolest shot we saw. Actually, is I hit a foul ball towards the right field pole, and for some reason both Josh and I just went whoa, because I don't know what it was, but the movement and the players kind of going, you know, the ball going by the players was a really neat effect. So I, you know, it's one of those things that it's really hard to describe, but when you saw it you were just like, oh my god. I think the best use and the best demo of what 3D can be, though, is Gran Turismo 5.
Oh, yeah. That's the game that we were sitting there saying that it seems like we're forgetting something. But,
yeah.
You know, again, I didn't get to play it. If you tell me you got to play GT5 in 3D, I'm really going to be jealous.
They had it on the floor, dude.
Oh, well, I know, but I mean, you know.
Oh, yeah. No, that's the first thing we did, actually. We, on Monday, after the press conference, we had to go to our Bethesda appointment. And as soon as we were done with that, we headed straight over to Sony. And that was the first game we played. Was we went right to Gran Turismo 5 in 3D, and we waited extra time to play it in 3D. You could see all the corners coming up. You could see the depth perception was truly outstanding. That sold me on 3D. Actually, I was like, all right, I'm buying a TV, and I'm not going to use it all the time. I know I'm not going to use it all the time. You know, I don't even like movies in 3D. Really, some of the Pixar stuff's neat, but I don't know. You still lose that color. You lose a certain amount of color in 3D, but from what it sounds like, the developers are going to try to compensate for that. But Gran Turismo, there was this one moment in it where there's a car that has a those foils in the back, and it has an automatic one that goes up when it goes fast enough.
Mm-hmm.
And the car kind of swooped in front of me, and that thing went up when we were on a straightaway, and it just jumped right out of me. I'm like, holy crap! I mean, it's the little things that you remember, but that first time that I came up to a pretty sharp corner. And I actually took the right line on it right away because I could see where that corner was going to end on the right side. And I swooped around it and I said, oh, now I get it. And actually, the other one was Killzone 3, which I don't know if I'd play through Killzone 3 all the way in 3D. I might play it here and there, but they have a red dot sight on the gun. So it's just floating in the gas like it's supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
And it was floating in the gas and it looked like it would on a real gun.
Wow.
And I was popping Helgen right and left. I was dead on balls accurate with that thing. It's a gimmick, but it works. That's the weird part about it.
It's exactly what I was going to say. It's very gimmicky, but it definitely adds something to the game. You mentioned Bethesda. They had a really nice booth there and a really nice display. I'm trying to think. I know they had, of course, Fallout 3.
Mm-hmm.
What was the other game?
They had four games there. They had Fallout New Vegas, which it's Fallout in New Vegas. They had Brink, which is a really cool game from Splash Damage, who did Enemy Territory, Wolfenstein.
Right. We actually, that was the game I was thinking about. We actually tried that. That game, if you're a shooter fan, I think that game definitely has potential. That's a nice looking game.
It's kind of like Borderlands, but instead of being more RPG than shooter, it's more shooter than RPG.
Right.
So they still have those little RPG elements in it. You know, you see the numbers popping up when you're shooting guys, that kind of thing. But it's being done by hardcore shooter guys. And the big pull with Brink is the whole parkour system built into it. So if you see a table, and usually you would have to jump up on the table by hitting a button, well, now you can just run towards this table, push up a little bit, so you're looking up just a little bit, and you'll actually automatically jump over the table and slide over it. Or you can get into cover by just kind of looking down at the cover and you get right up to it. You know, once you get used to that, because of course I'm so used to hitting buttons to do stuff, but once you get used to it, it felt really good, and I think it's going to be a cool game. I was more impressed with that than I thought I'd be.
Oh, yeah, and me too. I went in to see Fallout, and I ended up more impressed with Brink than anything else. Now, while you were there, I'm sure you were developing a couple of different relationships and things like that. But I know that you guys, since you returned from E3, you guys have added a new feature to the show. And well, I don't know if you added it to the show or if you added the show to it. But let's talk a little bit about the PlayStation Home deal. How did that come about?
Oh boy!
Oh boy!
Actually, we launched a week before E3. It was nerve wracking and I was almost in tears. It was so nerve wracking. No, they approached us in March. They approached us, asked, and actually after the first meeting, that's when Mark told me he was quitting. So I had to figure out how to edit video and find a new co-host to replace Mark. So yeah, no, they approached us in March. This is is actually the brainchild of one of our community members who worked at Sony as a contractor for a long time. This guy, Zaku Pilot, 256. And he's a little industry whore. Everybody knows him in the industry. He's a great friend. He's a great friend. And, you know, he's a great guy. But this was kind of his brainchild to kind of get Sony more in tuned with the actual community. You know, none of this came up when they called, but I knew what it was when they came to us and started talking about it. I'm like, oh, I've heard this before because I have the synopsis sitting in my email. But we didn't know what it was going to be. You know, they just said, hey, would you like to do a conference call about something? We're like, okay. So yeah, it's been in the works since March, and no, we don't get paid. No, we're not owned by Sony or anything. It's basically just an extension of what we do in the podcast, but in video form. And it's exclusive in the North American PlayStation Home. They have a 2-week exclusivity, and then we put it on the website. So we're going to keep an archive on the site for people that are in Europe and Japan and all that. But we're actually in talks now, really initial talks, to try to maybe get this into the European PlayStation Home as well. So, but it's just us BSing about a couple of games a month or something like that. Like, I think this next month we're going to show some stuff for Killzone 3 and hopefully for Twisted Metal. We're trying to get some exclusive footage for that. And then probably some Joe Danger stuff, because we've all been playing Joe Danger a lot.
Why don't you tell us how we can find... Because I know if anybody's like me, they have a hard time navigating PlayStation Home.
Actually, it's pretty easy now. If on the front menu that looks like the X and B. Right now, they actually have the new and noteworthy thing right when you start up. And what you want to do is make sure you don't look for our name. You don't want to look for PS Nation. We're just the first one in this thing called the Community Theater. So eventually, it's going to be more different community sites that will have content in there. I know of a couple, but I can't talk about them. But so all you have to do is look for that right there, or if you want, all you have to do is go to the main central plaza area with the big fountain in the middle and everything.
Yeah,
and you'll see a theater. And actually, they've been really cool lately. They've actually been putting on the marquee outside now, showing PS Nation like episode 2 or whatever. Which that still blows my mind. But you go into there, and you're gonna walk in, and there's gonna be a big screen in the middle, and then you're gonna see off to the left and the right are groups of theaters. So when you walk in, you want to go right. And we're right in the middle. You'll see a big marquee that says Community Theater. And you go in there and it plays. And you even hear, might hear yourself at the beginning of that there.
Oh yeah. The disclaimer, as it were. That's that's pretty cool, man.
Well, I would recommend anybody don't go because you'll just get bored. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah. Go and check it out. PlayStation Home, Community Theater.
This one's kind of a mismatch. I don't know if you've seen it. It's just... You know, a couple of minutes of video that I shot that were terrible because I just got that camera. And then we did a nice big slideshow of about 80 photos from E3, different stuff that we saw, and Joel on a stick, of course. And went into some of the game footage where we could talk about some of the games, and then we went to that Activision thing on the Monday night at E3 where it was all those groups playing. We didn't know what we were going to, and we shot some video because these two dudes in front of us were really into the show for about 4 hours. So we
like really into you. I like the way you said that. You're like really
These guys, and Josh has it right. I mean, they were there and they were having a good time. I mean, obviously they were having a good time, but it's I hate it because it sounds like we're so jaded or something, but you know, they didn't tell us what we were going to, and it was at the Staples Center. And plus it didn't help that Josh and I sat at the ESPN zone for about 5 hours before the thing and had a few beers. But we go over to the Staples Center and we walk in. They don't know where we're supposed to go. So right away, they're like, oh, media goes here. So then we go over to that door. Oh, no, media goes over there. So we go over back to the other one. Then they send us through and we end up where we were the first time. Like, out, you know, on the inside of the door they told us not to go through. So then we go upstairs and they take us up. It's like the VIP area where all the boxes are, which was really nice, all carpeted and everything, you know. And we go up there and we're just standing at all these entrances. They said, okay, well, you have these entrances that you can choose from. So we're standing there and we stood there for a good 90 minutes just waiting. You know, we don't know what the hell we're there for. We can hear Eminem practicing and practicing and practicing and practicing like nonstop. So, you know, we were all joking, like, oh, guess Eminem's here. But we didn't know what to expect. Activision wasn't on the E3 show floor. They didn't have a press conference. So we thought, hey, this is where we're going to see some good Activision stuff. And it wasn't that at all. I mean, they showed like trailers basically, or extended trailers of some of their games, and they had all these really well-known DJs like David Guetta and Deadmau5 and whatever, and then Usher came out on stage and this Rhea chick, and the only great thing was Chris Cornell singing with an orchestra for Black Hole Sun, and then Jane's Addiction played a couple songs.
Wow.
And then Eminem comes out with Rihanna and he did 6 songs, and they had this big, you know, they were showing, because his song obviously is attached to Black Ops, and we didn't get it on video, but they had all these mortars and everything on the side up in the seats by us, like right next to us, all these mortars and flamethrowers and crap, and they had it all synced up with what was going on in the game footage. So if there was a big explosion, they would set off these big mortars, and then these dudes were up there with flamethrowers, and we're literally sitting right next to it. Like, our ears are just ringing. It's hotter than hell. And they put all the quote-unquote media together, so we all just sat there, and we were all miserable together. Well, they did actually have free beer for a while, which was nice, but not up by us. We had to go way downstairs and go through a checkpoint to get to the beer and everything. So we only went down twice because it was such a hassle.
It's so funny that you use the word checkpoint, too, because I was telling somebody, I was trying to explain to somebody the level of security that was at E3 or in the general area. Geez. And I was just like, there was a couple of times I felt like I was going to have to take my shoes off, my...
yeah. Sir, I need to see your badge.
Exactly, man. I just felt like, oh my God, I hope I don't lose my badge.
I hate to sound whiny, but you know, it's not music I'm into really, except for Jane's Addiction. I was like, oh, sweet, Jane's Addiction. But you know, I can respect Eminem. I don't buy his albums, but I don't mind his stuff, you know, and it was cool. He did 6 songs. So, but it was funny. You know, we made fun of it in the home thing too, but you know, they're spending all these millions of dollars on this thing. They filled the Staples Center and nobody had to pay to get in. They filled the place with all these people, and all, you know, Tony Hawk almost biffs it, and they've got all these celebrities on stage, and yet they still haven't paid any bonus money to Infinity Ward. You know, that was the big running joke up by us, like, oh, look at all Infinity Ward's money getting put to good use. Was it worth it? It was, for the laughs and for the stories and that kind of thing. I mean, we met some great people. We met some guys from ESPN Radio. We met some guys from some other sites. So, I mean, it was neat.
That's what we did all of Monday, is drove around with Will trying to get our car, and then when we finally got the car, which again, I hate to sound whiny like you said, but we actually ended up with a really nice ride. I don't know if you ever got to see it or not, but
yeah, the hoopty.
Yeah, that was pretty sweet. but my life, I'm telling you, Glenn, right now, my life was in danger every second I was in that car. And I've been a professional wrestler. I've been a bouncer. But my life was in danger the entire time I was in the car with Shane, and I know you drive. I know you drive a lot safer than Shane. Seems like
well, I do, except for the one part where we were coming back from the Sony press conference and we were there too long, and we had to get to our Bethesda thing, which we were actually like 15 minutes late for, and no, about half an hour late actually. We hadn't eaten all day, and they had free drink. I mean, they had an open bar at the Sony thing, but they didn't really have any food. they had, you know, little hors d'oeuvres or whatever, and I'm driving and I see this fat burger. I'm like, I've heard about fat burger. I looked at Josh, I'm like, dude, I'm starving. And he goes, yeah, me too. I said, all right. I was in the middle lane and I just swooped all the way over. And I said, well, that's pretty much par for the course in LA anyway.
Oh, yeah. Even the bus drivers and stuff. I was really amazed. We almost got ran over several times by bus drivers that were like, hey, buddy, I'm on a schedule. So.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, it sucks that they do E3 when they do it, because both years that I've been there now, the LA Lakers are in the playoffs and you have to deal with all that crap. And that was the perfect example where there was a game there that day for the finals, and we couldn't get parking anywhere. Places were charging like $60 for parking. You couldn't get into the convention center because it was full by the time the Sony press conference was done.
Julian DeSantos, who is going to, I promise, I keep telling everybody that he is going to join the Urgent Frequency team, but he has already joined Urgent Fury as part of the marketing department. But he was out there. He actually lives out in Corona, California. He came down the last day, and like you mentioned, the LA Lakers.
I was just too afraid of being killed in the riot.
That's what I was going to say. We were already like freaking out because, like you said, parking was stupid. It was just nuts. We just to go get a bite to eat, it was nuts during the day. But then that night, I'm guessing that you guys had just made it back to the hotel. And I guess we got back to our hotel about a half hour before you guys did. Because if I'm not mistaken, weren't you guys drinking?
You and I and Shane and a bunch of the other guys were all hanging out up front. And by the way, thank Shane for hitting the button on our video camera twice, because we didn't record any of that final thoughts thing that we thought we recorded.
Oh, really?
Remember we stood out in front with the microphone? Yeah, he hit the button too many times and it never recorded us.
Oh, that's classic. That's classic.
Damn you! We were all hanging out, and then you guys were parked right by us, and we left about the same time. We went straight back to the hotel because, quite frankly, we were just exhausted, and we were getting invited to, there were two parties we were getting invited to, and, you know, the Lakers game and everything else was going on, and Josh and I were just kind of sitting there starving our asses off, and we basically just said, F it, we're just going to stay in the room tonight. And, you know, I got people texting me like, you got to come to this party. You got to come to this party. And I'm like, because it was way across town, too. And our hotel was probably about 6 blocks from the Staples Center. And, you know, the Lakers win and we're watching on TV. And all of a sudden we hear stuff going on outside. And this big group of about 60 people is roving around up by the Staples Center. And they burned a taxi, I remember. They tried to push a bus over and the bus ran into the car in front of them to get away from them. So we're watching all this live on TV, which was quite frankly quite hilarious. The fire trucks all drove right by us to go to put that taxi out, I'm sure. And the best part was seeing this big group of people like on a corner and the cops all coming up with the riot shields and everything. And you see this little puff of smoke right in the middle of the whole group, and it was a flashbang. So the flashbang goes off and you just see the like half of the crowd just disperse immediately. And we're just laughing our asses off at these people. So, yeah, we thank God we stayed in and we watched all that transpire because we had to get up early to get to the airport the next day.
Yeah, I think I was watching G4 TV. They were doing like their wrap up or whatever. I was wondering. I don't even know what made me wonder what the score was, but I put it back on the game to see what the score was. And
yeah.
And like you said, there was a cab on fire. There was one of those food push carts or something.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it was like right. It was like Grand Theft Auto or something, man. And we survived the riots of
2010, baby.
Yeah, yeah. We should get a T-shirt or something.
We were saying the same thing. Like we make up the T-shirts and sell them. But it was funny. And the funny thing was then Rubenstein from Sony was trying to get us to get over to their hotel at about 6 a.m. or something the next day to watch the soccer game with him because he's huge into soccer.
Oh my gosh.
Said, dude, you're out. You're still out. It's 2 a.m. You're still out. You think you're going to get up in the morning? Oh, I'm going to get up and watch it because I think it was when the USA was playing. And he's, oh, yeah, I'm going to get up. I'm like, we're not coming to meet you. We got to go to the airport and everything. And sure enough, he didn't wake up until after the game was almost over.
Oh, yeah. Like I said about Julian, I mean, he's British. And I don't know if he could have saved puppies and burning children or watched the World Cup. As nice a guy as Julian is, he probably would have watched the World Cup. So
nice. Well, and I mean, the last thing that you got to talk about when you go to E3 is the parties. I mean, holy crap. And you guys, did you ever make it to one of our parties that we were at? I don't think you did.
No, I was kind of a party pooper. Just for the simple fact that I was afraid to be anywhere with Shane.
Well, I can see that.
There was alcohol. I didn't want to see how that turned out. I was just thinking, if Shane gets hammered and I'm left responsible for him, there's a good chance he's getting left somewhere. So, yeah, you know, we didn't get to go to any of the parties we really wanted to. I know the Zipper guys had a throwdown. You didn't get to go to that? See, I thought that you were at it. I know that
there were 37 parties we got invited to. So you have to pick and choose. I mean, it's not a like, oh, look at me, I got invited to all these parties. Everybody gets the invites essentially, but the best one we went to was Bethesda through a party, and it was on Sunset Boulevard at this place called the Saddle Ranch. And it's like this big steak place, and they have this whole patio outside along the whole outside of the building, the front and right of the building. It was great for one very big reason. They didn't overbook it, so you were never shoulder to shoulder with everybody. But they got, you know, they had the mechanical bull, they had karaoke, which, man, the karaoke talent in LA is quite outstanding. I was impressed. We got one of our guys from one of our other podcasts, Game Crashers. We got one of those guys up on the mechanical bowl, but people were doing it all night. It was pretty funny to watch. And I actually ran into a really old friend of mine that I haven't seen for a while. Saw him there at that party, and I got to geek out because, you know, Ted Levine was there from behind the Fallout series and everything, and Todd Howard, Ken Levine's BioShock, and then Todd Hollinshead from id showed up, and I was just geeking out totally. But that was the best party by far for us. And we sat there all night. You know, we sat outside, and they had this, although they had those stupid heaters on. I don't know about people in California. It was a gorgeous night out. It was like 78 degrees, and they had these big heaters on. So I went over and turned them off. I was dying.
I had never been to California, and I was just amazed at how wonderful. I don't think I was ever hot or cold the whole time I was there. I was just like, this is great, man.
But they're so pampered that they were running heaters. I did. Oh, wow. But no, that was by far the best party we went to, because it wasn't overcrowded, especially. I mean, you go to the Kotaku party and it's just wall to wall people. Even the PlayStation blog event. I mean, it was at a much nicer place this year. Much nicer place. That Bethesda party, it was just, you know, we sat there all night. We could have gone. There was another party going on from VG Charts was throwing it, and everybody wanted to go to that one. We said we'd try to make it, but. I mean, Sunset Boulevard, that was a good 20-minute drive. But, you know, we sat there all night. And the best part about that one, we told it on the show, too. But I'm outside waiting for our car because you had to get Valley Park in there. That was the only way you could park. And so we're waiting outside, and this woman comes up behind me, and she's like, hey, where are you guys staying at tonight? And we're like, what? And we're over by the Staples Center, and thought nothing of it. But Josh said he could see it on my face, like, you know, get the F away from me. I just didn't want to be bothered. Car comes driving up, and she goes, so you guys want some companionship tonight? I'm like, what? Get out of here.
All right. Giggity giggity.
Exactly.
Oh, my gosh, man.
I initially thought she came from the party. I didn't know, because she was dressed normal, you know, and I didn't know she just kind of wandered up. So, yeah, that was a good way to cap the night off.
We were supposed to go to, I think we were supposed to go to the Sony party with you guys, and then we were supposed to the Kotaku party. I think we were supposed to be at that one.
Yeah, Shane didn't have the address for the Sony thing, and I didn't have it on me because he texted me, and I'm like, I don't know, it's at See You Dad. I said, look it up on your cool Google phone, and you guys never made it.
Well, like I said, the reason we couldn't come that night was because of the whole debacle at the Avis car rental, and then I think the reason we couldn't go to Kotaku is because wasn't that a 21 and over?
Yeah.
So we had Will with us, and I think he's 20. So we couldn't go to that one for that reason. But there will always be next year, darling. Don't worry. We'll get together. Or who knows, man? Maybe you might get a phone call from me in the next couple of weeks, and I might need some firewood.
There you go. You just have to text me and let me know. I've got tons of it here.
Episode 176. Is it up now, sir?
What is wrong with us? 176.
That's not, sir. I think this will be episode number 70 for me, and I've been doing this, it seems like, for like 4 years. 176. How long? You guys do weekly episodes. I do bi-weekly.
We do it every... It comes out every Thursday, unless otherwise noted, or, you know, if we have a problem. But Usually comes out every Thursday. This week is an interview with the senior producer from Madden. Next week, we have an interview with Scott Campbell from Eat, Sleep, Play for Twisted Metal. Jaffe had to bow out at the last minute, so we talked to Scott. But we got Scott to give a great, funny story about David Jaffe. And now Jaffe knows about it, so I'm trying to get him to give us a rebuttal. So we'll get a little war going between him and Scott. It's pretty cool stuff coming up.
Very cool. And of course, check out their stuff on PlayStation Home. You want to do that. What else, man? Is there anything else they need to check out?
We've got two new writers on our website, and they're more editorial writers, but we've got some new articles up from those guys up on psnation.org, and they're doing a really good job. And I'm putting my review up for Madden. And then we're actually going to have two news writers pretty soon as well. So we're going to try to get the website kind of going where it's a lot more content than like one update a day, that kind of thing. But I'm putting some more video up soon. I've got about a 20-minute session with Xseed for the East games coming out on PSP, which definitely check that out. Those games are really cool. It's a very long-running series. And I think I've got some other video I'm going to be putting up as well. Some stuff for SOCOM 4 that I shot, that kind of thing. So just kind of some random stuff from E3. I might just throw together.
Okay, dude. Listen, it's always it's always awesome when you come by, dude. And you're invited to come back anytime, sir.
I mean, I have to say it here. I said it on our show a couple times, but you know, thanks so much for helping us out with the voice work. And you know, you've been just awesome to deal with in terms of this last minute crap, because I never plan anything ahead of time. So the PlayStation Home stuff, we're the first ones, and we're the guinea pigs. You know, we submit this stuff and legal takes a look at it, and they're just like, well, we can't have that. We can't have that. We can't have that. And seriously, I was on the phone with them for probably 2 weeks every night. You know, they asked about maybe putting some kind of a quote unquote disclaimer at the beginning, and they gave me the text, and then I kind of ran from there. And I was reading it myself, and I said, man, I wish Patrick could do this. Thank you so much for being so last minute and helping out.
It's my pleasure, man. We're all in this together. And you guys too have been super great to us. So you guys get over, check them out. PSNation.org. You can follow him on Twitter, PS3Nation.
Yeah, some jag took PSNation before I was around. It's got like 20 followers. Just give it up!
Oh, so you actually go there? You should go there and spam him with hate, sir.
Yeah, jerk!
Go to PSNation.org. Check it out. Episode 176. Say what's up to the other guys, Joel and Josh and all of them. Glenn, again, thank you very much for being with us.
Cool. Thanks for having me.
And like I said, the door is certainly always open, and I really do appreciate you coming by. Don't forget, if you have any questions or comments, you can send them to me at CommanderFury@UrgentFury.com. Also, remember to network with us via Twitter, on Facebook, the official Urgent Fury blog, Urgent Fury Unleashed, and of course, on our web channel at YouTube.com. Urgent Frequency is produced by Urgent Fury Holdings, and here in the studio by the lovely Allison Armstrong. And as a very special treat, I leave you with the number one song on the Billboard rock charts this week. For all you Medal of Honor fans and Tier 1 operators, from their forthcoming CD, 1,000 Suns, this is Linkin Park with The Catalyst. And Commander Fury, keep your feet wet and your powder dry. Hoo-yah!